Blog Talk Radio.
Man, it's been a quick minute since we've been doing the show on a Sunday. But for the people listeners, you're here. We're finally back on Sunday at the United Wrestling Council. It's just been a whirlwind of activities and everything. But here with me, finally, we're back together because we broke up for a minute, but we're back together now. Freddie Gabriel. Freddie, how are you, my friend? Long time no talk.
Hey, just remember, you came calling back to me, okay?
How's everything in the wonderful world of making big money in the delivery industry?
Oh, man, I don't even want to talk about it, but I mean, thankfully, yesterday ended with the customer trying to throw me in a pool and giving me a modelo. So it was actually wonderful. If that person is listening, happy birthday once again. I appreciate the brewski on the drive.
Yeah, well, you know, even though it's this day and age, you know, with wrestling or whatever, back in the day when I was wrestling in the mid-90s, the only two people that were able to wrestle full-time and make a living were Samoa Joe and Chris Daniels. Everybody else, if you didn't have a regular job, dude, you're hurting. You're trying to find out where your rent's coming from the next week or whatever. So dude, nowadays you have to have a job to, you know, make ends meet unless you get that big call from, you know, WWE or AEW. But real quick for the people listening, we're gonna it was just gonna be Freddie and I, but I got Fletch Fugaz coming on at about 7:15. He's in the main event of the big show. Finally, everything is set. Everything is good to go. It took forever. It took 15,000 meetings. We had to change the venue, but finally it all came together. So it's Sunday, the 27th of June. It's going to be doors open at 1:30, first match at 2 o'clock. Everything is good to go. It's called United Wrestling Council Blood, Sweat, and Cheers. It's Sunday, June 27th. Like I said, doors open at 1:30, first match is at 2, and it's at the Metroplex Gym. It's at 3200 East 59th Street in the city of Long Beach. It took a concerted effort, and luckily for us, Freddie Gabriel, like we're talking about earlier, people don't see the behind the scenes. They just see the finished product. So we were all good to go. But when the ring person who was vacationing in Florida wasn't able to come through with the ring because he had other stuff going on, I thought that was it. And I didn't want to come on this air and say, hey, man, we got to redo everything. And, you know, it's going to be pushed back. But luckily, Fred Gabriel came through and we were able to procure a ring for the show. So from us here at the United Wrestling Council, thank you, Fred Gabriel. It's good that you have your connections. And I don't want to say you saved the day, but you pretty much saved the day.
Man, I'm glad I was able to do something because I'm not even sure what exactly I did.
Real quick before we continue, I want to talk about the show. It's going to be myself and Fred Gabriel with Nicolette versus Drew Masters, Candy Girl, and Ruben Iglesias. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be the third match, and it's right before intermission. So I always like to have my match before intermission because it takes me a good half hour to walk to the back because I'm so beat up or whatever. So that's one of the good parts. But before we get into that, I don't know about you, Freddie. I know you're young. You can go through it or whatever, but I got asked to do a show on the Friday before, and I had to tell him I'm sorry. You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it because I don't want to be messed up for the show on Sunday. I want to be at 100%. First of all, Drew Masters got the win on me last Sunday. We wrestled for RJ, and it was the rematch between Drew and I. And real quick, I'll break it down. I had him going or whatever. The referee, Thuso, who had already had a couple beers in him. I mean, I got to be honest. One of the people sitting at ringside bought him a beer. Was a little out of it. So Jessica hit Drew Masters with the spear. I pinned him. And I don't know if Thuso missed it or if the beer kicked in or whatever. He blew it. I ended up taking an enziguri from Drew Masters, and he got the 3 count. So even more incentive for us to give him a good beat down. You know what I'm talking about, Freddie?
Oh, we're going to give him a beatdown, all right. We're going to give Ruben Iglesias a beatdown. You know, Candy Girl is going to be so scared. She's going to, like, she's going to have to go see a dentist after. You know what I'm talking about? You know, some cavity scares, you know. But, no, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to handing out beatdowns, you know. I'm looking forward to kissing hands and shaking babies. Did I say that right? Shaking babies,
yeah,
kissing, something like that, right?
Spot on. You're spot on. So we ended up changing the semi-main because it was going to be a three-way dance, but it got so heated with a couple of shows before and we got to talking or whatever. So now it's going to be Vito and Vintage Dragon versus Biggie Biggs and Alexander Vega. So I saw Vintage on Sunday and I'm like, dude, you know, you get in there with some big dudes, man. There's no, man. I'm telling you, you know, I got this down. They've been popping a lot of yang, whatever that means. I think that means talking stuff. But he's like, they've been popping a lot of yang, and you know, especially with Beto, and I think we're gonna do some serious damage. And I'm like, dude, first of all, even though Biggie Biggs has dropped a few pounds, that's a big dude. And Biggie Biggs dropped a few pounds, but Alex Vega has come up a little bit. So we're talking. You know, they got to be a combined weight of at least over, what, close to 600 pounds, would you say, Freddie?
No, I mean, I'm not sure. The last time I saw Biggie, as you said, he lost some weight. He looks good. He looks, you know, obviously throughout his career and stuff, and he's been losing that. Vega, on the other hand, has also been losing some weight. I mean, yeah. I see that guy almost weekly, you know, during you know, when he starts fire for the Lucha Homies training facility. But
yeah.
He looks in great shape. You know, I just went in the, ring with him a few weeks back. Again, just like yourself, I came on the losing end of that. You know, mm-hmm. He wanted to fight. I gave him a fight. But I'll tell you what, like, that man can move. That man is very strong. That's the most credit I'm going to give him. He's not the brightest guy on the block and everything. But I mean, definitely, it's definitely going to be one of those matches that you don't want to miss, because there's going to be some hard-hitting action up in there.
I think it's going to pop off. But before we continue, I got to tell you, too, we talked we talked to Freddie in the meeting, and he says, hey, look, man, Chris Nasty has been really put in. And who's your other guy that we're going to put Chris Nasty with?
I believe it's Eddie Vice. Eddie Vice,
yes.
I call him Mr. 80. I just went toe-to-toe with him recently as well.
Right.
The man brings it. The man's tough, but he came out on the losing end against me two in a row. We just wrestled 2 weeks ago for a private event for IBO heavyweight champion Andrew Ruiz Jr. held a private party. We were fortunate enough to get the phone call to be the semi-main event for that show. I mean, talk about pressure. Talk about being in front of a crowd. I mean, you're talking about Andy Ruiz. You know, heavyweight champion of the world in boxing, you know.
Yeah.
They put us up semi-main. And I'll tell you what, he brought it. He gave me everything he could do, but he wasn't good enough. He was not good enough to get the W against me. And that's definitely a match you don't want to lose, because don't think these guys are brawlers, you know. Don't underestimate them for their size. I mean, these guys are some really, really talented luchadores. I'm being honest and not being biased here is, you know, there's going to be people that they're going to be talking about for years to come in the SoCal scene.
Well, first of all, I hope, hold on a second. Hey, Sparklets, was it Príncipe León that Chris Nasty fought at RJ show? Sorry about that. He I saw him. He was at the show too for RJ, and he wrestled against Príncipe León. And they had a pretty good match, man. I was able to see. It's kind of hard to see because you're looking from the balcony, you know, and you got kind of the rolled top doors right there. So you can't see as much. But what I saw, the match went really well. But here's the thing: in the dressing room, there's a microwave that sits up on top. Now, Chris Nasty came in and he had one of those, I don't know what you call them, those little meals that you make. It was like fettuccine Alfredo with some chicken or whatever. And he put it in the microwave, okay? And he warmed it up. And I think he forgot about it because he went out, he wrestled, he finished, he came back, and he would, you know, was talking to some people or whatever. So I was already dressed after my matches and getting ready to leave, and he went to go get it to go eat it. So I hope he didn't get food poisoning. I don't know how long that thing was in there or whatever, but I guess when you're young and you got rock guts or whatever, you don't have to worry about it. But out of everything that happened at that whole show, on the way home, that's what Nicolette and I were talking about. So I hope that dude don't get sick, man, because that thing was sitting in there for quite a while or whatever. Have you talked to Chris Nasty since last week? Do we know if he's good? He don't have no food poisoning or anything?
I mean, I've seen him a few times this week running in and out of the restroom, but I thought that's just maybe because he's scared of any bites. But,
it could be.
I didn't hear any food poisoning. No food poisoning, no nothing on that I've noticed.
Those are just some of the little things that you have to be careful of when you go to those, when you're worrying about that stuff and eating at the last minute or whatever. But I got to tell you, man, here's the thing. Real quick before for the people listening, you hear it, UWC Radio, I'm talking to Freddie Gabriel, finally back on. I got Fletch Fugaz coming up in about 5 minutes or so, but I had to get this out there real quick. Here's the thing. It was Sunday. It was, you know, we were off of work on Monday for Memorial Day and all that. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I think you're still kind of too young in the business. But this is, I was booked. I was ready to go. I had all my gear ready and everything on Sunday. It was pretty cool because he had Saturday off and then Sunday and he had to work on Monday. So I had to drop my wife off at my brother-in-law's house. So when we went to go drop her off, dude, they were having a barbecue. They were making carne asada. The kids were swimming in the pool. They had a big TV inside the pool room, and they were watching the luchas and all this. And I'm like, dude, I didn't want to go. I'm like, man, this sucks, man. I think I'd rather stay here and eat or whatever. And then, you know, Nicolette's like, well, let's go, man. You're like, oh, okay. So we left. Dude,
where was my invite?
We had just planned on, you know, to go work for RJ, but we just happened to drop off my wife that day. But, you know, it's one of those drives where you're like, oh, man, I really don't feel like going. But we ended up having, you know, a great time, a great match. Saw a lot of people. We had on Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order, and he came up and he's like, bro, you know, this was great the way you entertained the fans and blah, blah, blah. So now I got to work in a relationship with Jimmy's World Order or whatever. So it just goes to show that when you think you're not going to have a good time or you're going to, it just was the complete opposite. Had so much fun. And it was just like one of those times that was just great. And everything came about and everything was really good. I got to tell you, for the people listening, JB Doll wrestled Amazing Junior. And that was a heck of a match. But we made a WrestleBoss shirt that was in rainbow or whatever. And we were looking for a male model to put it out there, and when we saw him, Nicolette was like, this is it, this is the guy. We put it on him, like, man, this is it right here. The sales are just ridiculous now. I mean, I never thought, you know, this is why I'm not, you know, in that business or whatever, because I didn't think anything of it. But I mean, they're just inundated with people wanting that rainbow WrestleBoss shirt or whatever. So big thanks to JV Dell for being our male model, which I think you have a future in that or whatever. But I just wanted to put that out there. But that's what I'm saying, we just little things like that came all together on that Sunday. I mean, just a million things. Just, you know, Jimmy's old daughter, the rainbow shirt, and, you know, a bunch of people that I hadn't seen in a long time. And I mean, really, really went well. So we definitely look forward to the big show that's coming up on June 27th. So far, we've been trying to get that flyer out for I don't know how long. So I had to make one so that we could just, you know, have something to pass out when, because, like, that's all I did today. I went out to by where the gym is in Long Beach and hit up a couple of, like, some restaurants and stuff like that and passed out some flyers and talked to a bunch of people and, you know, make it move so we can get that place packed. So we're steadily working on making sure hopefully, Manny, if you're listening, we're going to be able to get that flyer out this week so that we can make sure we have everybody set and good to go. So with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to call Fletch Fugaz, talk to him a little bit since he's in the main event of this big show that we got coming up. So, Freddie, hang on. We'll be right back after this. tell you, so much stuff going on that it takes me a while to get everything set or whatever. But for the people listening, so you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UWC.com. UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. They're working. I talked to Manny last week, and we're steadily trying to get all that stuff together, trying to jump into the 21st century. So if you want to order your tickets online or whatever. But I got my man Fred Gabriel with me. It's been almost three weeks since we've been able to do the show or whatever, but we're back on track. Big show coming up Sunday, June 27th. At the Metroplex Gym at Long Beach. Don't forget, if you want to check it out, it's at 3200 East 59th Street in the city of Long Beach. So let's give Fletch Fugaz a call so we can talk a little bit about him being in the main event. He's out there training at the School of Hard Knocks with Jesse out there in the San Bernardino area.
Hello.
Hey, Fletch Fugaz, it's Fabiano. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I do. I can hear you clear.
It's beautiful. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Got my fan Fred Gable hanging with me. But on the line with us right now, live and directamente, is my man Fletch Fugaz. Hey, my man, I haven't talked to you in such a long time. How are you, my friend?
Well, after all these crises and everything, I thank God I'm doing fine. You know, just missing the ring, missing the crowd, and missing the action, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I think the people are more like just dying to see some good wrestling or whatever. So it's the perfect time right now to do a show, because the last couple of shows that I've done, I mean, they have been packed. People are just, I mean, really ready to see a show. So real quick, I want to talk a little bit about the big show I got coming up, because let me tell you something. Not that I'm this perfect guy and I know everything or whatever, but when I see Fletch Fugaz, I'm like, if I want somebody to come and do damage, this is who I call. Or whatever. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and why it's so important, this match that's going to be the main event. But before we get into that, real quick, I got my man Freddie Gabriel with me here, and I want to put this out because I've got so many emails and messages and stuff like that, because the big news over the whole weekend was that Andrade El Idolo made his debut at AEW on Friday. Now, that's cool. I mean, that's cool or whatever, but here's the question I have, and we'll start with, since our guest Fletch Fugaz is here. I go back and forth, especially with Guyam and Enigma, because I say, man, you know, I really am glad that these guys get to WWE and they're making the money and they can buy a nice house and they can take care of their families or whatever, but they just get buried. They just do not know what to do with these guys or whatever. So now, you know, he had a 90-day, you know, no compete, and that's finally over. So he's been out saying, hey, man. He says the same thing. They just don't know what to do. You know, I'm glad I'm finally out of there. I can, you know, spread my wings. I can go to New Japan. I can go to Ring of Honor. I could really do some, you know, spread out and do some wrestling. But to me, it seems like going to AEW, even though it is a big, you know, big deal or whatever, to me, I think he should have stayed independent. I think he should have stayed where he can go free to do, because that's kind of what Penta Cerro and Rey Fénix, that's kind of what they did for a little while, and then they kind of hooked up with AEW. Real quick, my man Fletch Fugaz, what do you think, man? You think he should have explored a few things and did a few independent shows or whatever and then signed with them, or think he's got to sign with them now while it's hot?
I think, in my personal opinion, I think that Andrade is a very, very good, skilled wrestler. So I think, like, at the big league where every wrestler is, like, be on TV and big promotion like WWE, which I respect that. But I think that in independent side, you can have a more action, and they can give you the opportunity to, like you mentioned it before, like, spread your wings. So
yeah.
To me, I think, like, if he stays independent, I mean, he can explore more. Like, I mean, he was like a big, big timer in New Japan, like when he was
marketed
as a La Sombra. I mean, he did excellent. I mean, now, like, too many people, then one time they asked me, like, hey, you know what? You never want to be in WWE? Honestly, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crazy about it, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I prefer, like, the different promotions, be independent. And to me, like Andrade, I think that he should stay independent, because you can see more and more shows, and actually the public, they can see him in the small shows, shows compared to pay a lot of money to go to WWE show, you know?
Right.
I mean,
right. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and, I mean, come on.
And real quick, Freddie, now AEW is a little more lenient, like Kenny Omega. They let him work at AAA every once in a while. It seems like they're having a little bit of a working relationship with New Japan or whatever, and then even with Impact. So he probably will get to do, you know, a little more than he did tied up in WWE. But, Freddie, what do you think, man? You think it's good? To me, it seems like he went from the frying pan into the fire. He's going to be locked down again or whatever, but I think he has a little more freedom. You know, Freddie?
I mean, he definitely has more freedom. I mean, personally, he's got one of the greatest guys that are working AEW got a really good deal. They're able to work there, obviously prioritize AEW, and then go work other promotions that they're working with. I mean, like you said, there's New Japan. There's,
right.
You know, AAA that they're working with. I mean, you know, you have Kenny Omega right now as the triple champion or AAA champion. You know, and he's going to get to defend that at the Triple Mania, Triple Mania. Or I'm not sure if I'm saying it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, against.
But
Andrade.
You know, he's going to get to work that show against Andrade. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You have Andrade right now, who's also going to be working. I mean, from my understanding, it's supposed to be his first match, you know, out of WWE, but that might change obviously now that he's in AEW. But I mean, he's got that local show that he's doing here for a company called RGR. You know, they're doing that in a few weeks. So,
against Federico Dos Santos, yeah.
It's like he gets both worlds. He gets his contract, and he gets to explore and wrestle places that not a lot of people that go to WWE, you know, go. You know, to follow up with what he was saying right now, it's like, if I was asked the same question, do you want to go to WWE? Honestly, my answer is going to be yes for the financial reason. But honestly, with my experience as a referee, I would rather want to go in as a referee, you know, even if it's an NXT. I mean, it's being involved in something that I love to do, but, you know, but to go in as a wrestler, like, there's just too much talent. If they don't know what to do with the talent they have now, what makes me think that I'm going to be any different? I mean, give me a smaller role. I'll be happy with a smaller role.
Right. And to our guest Fletchful guys, you think that that's what they need in WWE? Somebody like not particularly Conan, but somebody like Conan who knows the luchadores and says, hey man, if we put, you know, Andrade against I don't know, Shinsuke Nakamura, that's going to blow the roof off the place or whatever. You think they need somebody like that knows the lucha guys and can put them with different people, and that will get them to the promised land? What do you think, Fletch?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You agree completely on that, because Andrade, I mean, by the time that he stayed in WWE, I mean, I remember when I saw the match that he has against, what was it, this guy, Tommaso Ciampa?
Yes,
I mean, that was, wow, man.
Yeah.
I get up on my chair and I put my hands together and I bow to the man, because that was, to me, the excellent match. So right now, I mean, this guy, he can dominate the Japanese style, the lucha libre style, the American style. So he can go easy toe to toe with anybody, man. That guy is the total package right now.
You know what? Hold on a second. Real quick, I'm really good friends with Vince McMahon. So let me make a public service announcement real quick, okay? Vince, hire Fletch for guys, man. He knows the wrestlers. Start him out at about $100,000 a year. And once he gets there, you'll bump him up to $200,000 easy, because he knows what's happening. Don't worry about it. We're going to get you in there and get these matchups made so that these people can know what's happening. Because you watch the WWE, it's the same matches. The Uso brothers and Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
It's the same stuff, and they have so much talent that it just kind of, you know, I'm like, I would just wish that they would do this with this or whatever. But, you know, hey, we're playing Monday morning quarterback, but what can we do? But real quick, for the people listening, so you're here, you're at UWC Radio, and I got my man Freddie with me, and we're talking to Fletch Fugaz. Big show coming up. It's Sunday, June 27th. It's called UWC Blood, Sweat, and Cheers. It's at the Metroflex Gym at 3200 East 59th Street in the city of Long Beach. Doors open at 1:30. First match is at 2. Now, the card came out. We haven't got the official flyer out, but I've been passing out the flyers, and I announced the big matchups and everything, and everybody's like, well, wait a minute. Even though we've had this match before and similar, and they're like, first of all, why would you team Guyam with Fletch? Don't they have heat? Aren't they all? And I'm like, yeah, they do, but when they're together, I mean, it's because people aren't used to seeing Guyan work as a heel or whatever. So I'm like, when I put him with Fletch, dude, they do damage. And then Jaguar is like, well, you know, I didn't get a chance to do what I wanted to last time. I'm a real wrestler. I'm a professional, and I'm going to do moves, and I'll put this guy in all. And I'm like, man, okay, I'll give you the shot or whatever. And then same thing with Power Baby Genesis. Oh, everybody thinks I'm a clown, but once I get in there, I'm going to show them what I can do or whatever. So I'm like, all right, man. I said, no problem. I said, I have no problem booking that match because I know it's going to be, you know, a knockdown, drag-out fight. So first of all, Fletchful guys, I mean, you can kind of see what I'm talking about. I mean, the picture that I put up, you know, I kind of turned on Guyan and we went after him, but, you know, and there's heat there. But I put you two guys together, and people don't know. Guyan does have a mean streak in him, and you can kind of bring it out of him and do some serious damage, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, Guyan, he's got a lot of experience. He's one of the dinosaurs in the progressing. So I like to bring up the bad side of him.
Yeah.
So we can create a team. I mean, like, Jaguar is a nice and excellent wrestler and everything. Power Baby Genesis, I'm like, it's okay. I said, but don't worry about it. We make him suffer. I mean.
And I got to tell you, when that match happened before, it was a while back, but when you guys beat up Power Baby Genesis, I thought people were going to lose their minds because it's kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Not bullying, but they're like, leave him alone and leave him. He's like, no, he's a wrestler. He's got him. And boom, boom, back and forth and, you know, suplex and, you know, power bomb and everything. And by the end of the match, everybody was like, oh my God, you know, this poor guy or whatever. But they got to understand that he said, oh, okay, yeah, I took it, but I want to show everybody that, you know, I'm a real wrestler. I could take it and I'm going to really do some damage on both of them, not just Fletch Vugas, but him and Guyan on this one, and they're ready for you in Quien Sabe Que. So that's the big matchup right there. Now, whoever wins that match, the following show is going to be the Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament, because they have a big trophy and stuff. And, you know, so if you and Guyan can go past Power Baby Genesis and Jaguar de Oro, you guys are going to get the winner of the semi-main, which is Biggie Biggs and Alexander Vega versus Vintage Dragon and who else I got there? Vintage Dragon and Vito Fratelli or whatever. So if you guys get past those, you think you could be ready for those two guys too, because that's some big dudes right there.
Well, first of all, we will pass. That's not an option.
That goes without
we
saying.
We will pass
yeah.
to it. Yeah, and whoever, I don't care if it's a big 300, 400 pounds, that is not what is on my head. The only thing that was against me and Guyan, we're going to succeed and we're going to get the trophy in our hands. And that's the end of the story for everybody. I don't care who it is coming after us.
Yeah. And them too, when I talk to them, they're like, absolutely. We want to advance into that next round and get that Pistol Pete Memorial Trophy or whatever. So everybody's coming ready to go. Plus, a lot of people have went two ways with the COVID. A lot of guys have went and took advantage and trained and got ready. And then there's some that just kind of kicked back and kind of, you know, didn't train as much as they should have or whatever. So we're going to separate the men from the boys. So for the people listening, make sure you come and check it out. Don't forget, it's UWC Blood, Sweat, and Cheers. It's Sunday, June 27th. Doors open at 1:30, first match at 2 at Metroflex Gym in Long Beach. We'll make sure we give everybody all the information so they can come and check it out. And definitely want to come and check this one out because it's the inaugural UWC show since, you know, everything's got taken over. So real quick, I got to take a quick break, but I got one more question for Fletch Fugaz before we get out of here. Can you hang on for one minute there, Fletch?
Yes, sir. No problem.
Okay. And Freddie, you still there, right?
Yeah,
Freddie,
yeah.
You still there? Okay.
I forgot you were on mute.
Quick break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. Sparkle? Let me put this on because Manny loves this. Man, we are on fire. So for the you're at UWC Radio. I got my man Freddie Gabriel, and we're talking to Fletch Fugaz, talking about the big show that's coming up on Sunday the 27th. Huge main event. It's Fletch Fugaz and Gayam teaming up against Jaguar de Oro and, of course, Power Baby Genesis. So, and the winner advances, you know, to get in the big tournament for the Pistol Pete Memorial Cup that's coming up down the line. So definitely want to come and check that out. Now, before we get out of here, here's the thing. Fletch Fugaz, man, he's, you know, he's training out there at School of Hard Knocks, and he's always, you know. When I see Fletch, I just see like I don't know what the word I'm looking for, like a bulldozer. He goes straight at you. Boom, bacatelas y se acabó. So that's the way it was. Now, here's the big question that I have. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been pigeonholed as an entertainer. They say, oh, Fabiano's good, he entertains the crowd, blah blah blah, whatever, but we don't know about his wrestling. We don't know if he can wrestle, we don't know if he can go hold to hold or whatever. So I early in my career, I would say in the early 2000s, I did a few matches where, you know, I worked a lot of chain wrestling and stuff like that, which is cool, but to me it was kind of boring. I have to get out there, I have to do certain things because I want that person that's in the seats to say, man, that was entertaining as hell. I want to come back and see him again. Or, hey, dude, you got to come back and see this guy. I mean, he did stuff that you wouldn't believe, blah, 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 or whatever. Now, Fletch Fugaz, who's been working for a long time and training out there, you know, at School of Hard Knocks and just bulldozing everybody. And it's not too hard for him because he just kills everybody, so it's not that bad. But give me your opinion on that, dude. Okay, you can mix the two. I mean, you could, you know, if, like, say you're going to go against Jaguar, so let's go, bro, and we'll do some chain wrestling, see what you got or whatever, and then you just give him a beat down, right?
I mean, to me, like, that's my background. I learned progress in Mexico and lucha libre. Yeah. So when I get to these guys, I love like a unground in the cheese, you know. So I got these guys, and they start to ground them and ground them and ground them until I just got in the perfect position and the better situation. And I just boom, they going down. So yeah. there is no question to me, you know.
Right, and the thing is here's the thing with Pistol Pete. For at least the first year when I was training, that's all we did. We worked wrestling, chain wrestling, hold the hold, because he said you have to learn that before you can get in there and start even getting close to working with your character or whatever you're going to do, because if you don't know what you're doing, they're going to kick your ass, and then you're never going to wrestle again or whatever. So we, for a full year, that's all we did. You have to know what you're doing, you know, chain wrestling, in, you know, taking a bump, whatever it is, you have to know everything or you're not going to last. So that's the whole thing. That's what we're talking about. And that's, you know, why we do this business and stuff like that. So we just had to put that out there. But like I said, somebody like Fletch, he'll just go right through your mess. You don't have to worry about it. But I kind of, when they asked me, well, what is Fletch Fugaz like or whatever? And I go, well, picture like a fire hydrant with arms and legs. That's just going to, like, you try to hit him, or it's like hitting a tree. I mean, I took a shoulder tackle from him, and I felt it from like the top of my head all the way down in like the back of my leg. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. But I when I took this, I went, oh my God, it was like a car wreck or whatever. So I'm just saying, Power Baby Genevis and Jaguar de Oro, just be ready. Because Fletch has been chomping at the bit to get back in there and really do some damage. So unfortunately, you two have to be the first, you know, that's there and going to have to feel the wrath or whatever. So we definitely look forward to it. But I got to tell you, Fletch, as soon as, you know, Manny and I, who is the owner and the proprietor of UWC now, when he said, hey, man, let's put a card together that's really going to get these people going or whatever, definitely Fletch Fugaz is one of the first people that I think of, because that man could go. So we look forward to you coming out. Definitely, for the people listeners, if you want to check out Fletch Fugaz, hold on a second. Yeah, I got to stop smoking, man. I'm sorry. hold on a second. Let me take a drink. You know, when you work in the medical industry and you put in 14-hour days, you get these really bad habits or whatever. So, that, unfortunately, I got to kick that habit. But Fletch Fugaz, you got to come and check him out. Big show coming up on the 27th.
Yeah, you're right, dude.
I'm trying, man.
Do I need a call? I'm going to call the ambulance.
No, do you know how to do the Heimlich? But if you put Fletch Fugaz, It's La Fletch Fugaz. If you put that in your little search engine, it keeps everybody up to date up there so you can follow him. Fletch, I'm looking forward to seeing you, my man. We definitely got the people ready. They're definitely going to, and like you said, we're just going to keep moving forward and get ready for that Pistol Pete Memorial Cup because I think you guys are going to bring it home. So we definitely look for anybody you want to thank, anybody you want to talk about before we let you get out of here, my man?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me in the in your program today and all the listeners and everything. And, I mean, like you say, right, I'm very excited about this match, and I can't wait to take the first bump and start rolling the ball because it's going to be a weird ride. So thank you, and I hope to see everybody over there at the show, and let's ready to destroy.
I agree. I agree. But the people just have no idea what they're in for, especially. So, Freddie, hang on. We'll be right back to do the news for the people listening. Just put in La Fletch Fugaz in your little search engine. He keeps everybody up to date up there. And I'll see you soon. All right, my man?
Thank you, sir. We'll see you. We'll see you then.
For sure. We'll be right back after this, everybody. Hang on. About that, I'm kind of new at this. I've only been doing it for 17 years, but I hung up on Freddie, so let me bring him back real quick. Sorry about that, Freddie, my man. Yeah, I'll probably give out your cell phone over there. How about that? Okay, here we go. Sorry about that, everybody. Get Freddie back on here real quick so we can finish up some of this news real quick. Hey, Freddie.
Hey, hello. Hello.
I'm sorry, I'm new. I'm still new with this. Here, I'll put this on real quick. Hold on. That was me during the break. Sorry.
Manny, if you're listening to me, that's on Fabi, all right? I still better get paid because I'm not the one that left early, all right?
If you're listening, you need to get a real producer in here because I'm still new at this. I've only been doing it for like 16, 17 years. So that was my bad. So anyway.
Man, I remember my first year.
For the people listening, you're still here. Even though I hung up on Freddie, I got it back. And you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget to check out NightOfWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all those information. Real quick, Freddie, quick question. Bret Hart.
Yes.
Far and away one of the best ever. I would put him in my top three. What about you?
I put him in my top five.
In your top five?
Top five.
Who? My top three is definitely Ric Flair. My number two, Shawn Michaels, and number three, Bret Hart. Who else do you have besides that?
I mean, I have Eddie Guerrero.
Ugh.
Chris Jericho, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Even Rey Mysterio is in there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Kurt Angle. How can we forget Kurt Angle? I mean, I don't even know if I can have a top five. I mean, there's so many good wrestlers. I mean, technical wrestlers that are up there. I mean, man, I wish Bret Hart never got injured because I'd love to see what he would be able to do with a guy like Kurt Angle or a guy like like I just said, Eddie Guerrero. You know, there was just. So much. I mean, the physicality that he brought.
Unfortunately, you're doing something stupid like earning a living and making money. So you weren't able to see that. I was watching a little bit of the biography of Bret Hart before we went on the air. And, I mean, just you know, Shawn Michaels, the way he sells and the way he can put on a show, I mean, nobody liked that dude. Bret Hart, everything he did was just spot on. I mean, just Chris... You know, boom, he would take that front turnbuckle bump or whatever, and it was just amazing. Just amazing how you would see the way he worked. But it's kind of sad because he said on this thing, he said, you know, Goldberg's the one who ended my career. You could say whatever, or you know, but he kicked me so hard in my head that I couldn't see. I couldn't, like I felt like I was going to get sick, you know, and all that. So I guess that he gave him a concussion so bad that he ended up having a stroke afterwards. or whatever. So to me, for somebody like that to have their career ended by somebody like that really just upsets me or whatever. I mean, it's just really bad because Goldberg, great, you know, physique or whatever, but look what he did. You just, this is the epitome of what we don't want to do, put somebody in there to get somebody hurt and end their career. So give me your thoughts on that, Freddie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's one thing to be a snug wrestler and you're still protecting the guy, you know, you're doing that. But then there's another thing to be reckless. And
right.
The fact that it was a reckless kick, you know, that's the frustration. I mean, I myself, you know, this is a physical sport. I expect to get a black eye here and there, you know, things like that. But for somebody to just be flat out reckless, you know, it shouldn't be tolerated, you know, especially in a business where we're risking our bodies, our lives, and things like that.
It's like you said, stuff happens. I mean, you know, there's no avoiding it, but you try to be as safe as you can. You know, you want to, just like that, you put somebody out, you just took, you know, money out of their pocket, food off the table or whatever. They gotta realize that. I mean, that's why you have to have a promoter or a booker or whatever who knows what they're doing. You know, say, hey, you know, you gotta, if you're gonna do this, watch this. Or they're gonna say, well, I'm gonna give this to the pile driver on this. And you know, no, you're not. You're gonna do this or whatever.
You know, I had a guy tell me once, you know, that he heard that the guy that I wanted to work with, that was going to work with me, wanted to attempt to do this like the razor's edge,
right,
off the top rope, onto the apron, and this person told me that he told the guy, he's like, have you talked to Freddie about that? He's like, no, Freddie would do it. He's hardcore. And when I looked at the guy, I looked at the story and said, look, I'm hardcore, but I'm not an idiot. I was like, secondly, this guy is reckless. This guy doesn't even take care of anybody. Why am I going to attempt to do something so stupid and completely end my career?
Yeah, why would you put your life in his hands or whatever? I've said this before. There's very few people that I trust in this business. Like Biggie Biggs is one that I do. I mean, that dude, he's there. He, you know, I know if I do something or whatever, he's going to be right there. Val Viper was another one. There was a guy that wrestled as El Sagrado when I used to work for Antonio, and he was just there, dude. I never had to worry. So, like, if he said, hey, bro, we're going to do this, I wouldn't worry about it because I know he's gonna take care of me or whatever. That's the whole thing. It's very, very few, far and few between. But to me, Freddie, you know, especially dudes like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, they don't need to do that. You know, bumps on the apron or whatever. They could keep it in the ring and still put on a show. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was always told that in order to be considered one of the best wrestlers, you have to have a match where you don't go outside and you don't use the ropes.
Right.
And I sat there and I looked at him like, wait, are you being serious? They're like, yeah. I was like, is that even possible? You know,
yeah,
so I don't consider myself an amazing wrestler. I consider myself someone that goes out, puts on a great show. You know, I try to do the best I can, and my job is to put smiles on people's faces, and that's all I can do.
Right. Either you send them home happy or you send them home wanting to come back and see you get killed. That's the way it works. That's the business. Now, did you watch The Dark Side of the Ring where they showed where they all went down to North Korea?
I actually have not watched this season of Dark Side of the Ring. I haven't caught up yet. So if that was on this season, that's going to be enough. I've only seen the first season, which was amazing. I'm actually very behind on The Dark Side of the Ring. I kind of do that on purpose because I want to watch these shows without stopping, kind of like a binge-worthy thing.
Right.
I do need to catch up on that because a lot of people say that I'm missing out on a lot of good things.
When they showed that one, which is pretty cool because, you know, there's no leash on that show. They told everything. But when they went to North Korea, these people were so, you know, in a communistic country, they said for the first three matches, they were silent. They didn't even know, you know, like they were like, and the first match was Chris Benoit against Too Cold Scorpio, and they were silent. Or whatever, then Hashimoto against Scott Norton and just nothing. But when they brought Antonio Inoki out against Ric Flair, that's when the people finally started to start cheering, and they figured out who was the heel and who was the face, and you know, and Ric Flair made Inoki look like $1 million. So when Eric Bischoff was talking, he said, you know, it took a while to get these people, you know, into it, but when Inoki and Flair went out, Flair made him look like $1 million. He said, and that's exactly why I brought it. And see, that's what when a promoter says something like that, that's when you're a real wrestler. When he says, he didn't say Inoki's the greatest and he's this and that. He said, that's why I brought Ric Flair, because he made Inoki look like $1 million in front of 100,000 people. So you kind of get what I'm saying there, Freddie?
No, definitely. Definitely get what you're saying.
Yeah, because in a day and age where, you know, everybody's like, oh, I want to go over, and I'm not putting this guy over, and I'm not doing this, and that's what I'm talking about. Ric Flair didn't care if he's going over or not. He just want to make sure that he put on a show, and that's why they called it. Hey, this is why we're bringing him, because we knew we put him against Inoki. He's going to make that guy look like $1 million. Everybody's going to go home happy, and that's what they're talking about. So this is kind of what I'm talking about when I say a promoter's looking to put a show together, and why we bring this guy and why we do that. That's the whole thing behind it. I'm telling you, man, Joseph from PCW, that his mindset is he knows that business. And it was funny. You know, we talk all the time, and when he says something like, this guy's, that's what I'm talking about, man. Just little things like that. So this is Freddie, for some reason, is doing something dumb like working and making a living and paying his bills and stuff like that. So I don't know why he's watching. I'm watching Sunday night is my night because they put all this stuff on there. Go ahead.
You know what's funny is I know a few people actually who recently were so concerned about their wins and losses right now. And they brought it to my attention. I'm like, dude, like, first of all, you're not even a year in, and you're worried about your wins and losses. Like, right now, what you need to worry about is making sure that you can work the match and not worry about wins and losses. This is professional wrestling. Like, you're going out there and just be honored that you're able to get in that ring, because not everybody gets an opportunity to. I mean, hell,
right.
If you look at my wins and losses, if I were to care about my wins and losses, I'd probably be fired by now. You know,
yeah.
Because I haven't won a lot of my matches, but it's like you said, it's I think for me, my persona and who I am and everything that I stand for, both inside and outside the ring, like I tell a lot of people, my persona in the ring is no different from what's outside the ring.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like when I get that win, when I get those victories, when I get the W's and I gut it out, and people see how hard I've worked and the beatdowns that I've gotten, I feel like they mean more. You know,
right.
It's almost like people love it. I've been told by fans who have pulled me out on the side, and have told me straight up, like, hey, man, I think that what you do in there is amazing, and because of you, you give me hope that one day I can go in a ring and be a wrestler myself. And the fact that people see themselves in me, and when I get that victory, the way the crowd blows up and goes crazy, for me, it's a surreal moment. I mean, I was in a match with a guy a few years back, this guy was a 9-year champion at the time for this company called UW, and these guys were literally, what's the word I'm looking for, like, he was killing it, you know? And I got to wrestle him. He was one of the biggest faces of the company. When I got to wrestle him, I built it up, I did the story, we get there, and prior to the beginning of our match, before we even locked up, the entire crowd went from cheering him to chanting "F your 9 years." It was so, so behind me. They wanted me to finally win the big one, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was insane. It was like the entire time he looked at me, and I'm like, first of all, I didn't even start this chant, so you can't get mad at me. And
yeah.
I'm like the entire time they were just chanting "F your 9 years." Clap, 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 clap. Like, the sound in that building was deafening. And I walked away. I didn't win the match, but I walked away with his respect because I worked my ass off. And even the crowd was like, they were defeated. Like, when I didn't obviously win, but when I got up in the middle of the ring after my match and I took my bow, they all stood in unison and just gave me an applause. It might not have been the greatest match they've ever seen, but it was a damn one of the toughest fights that they've ever seen, because I gave them everything I had. And that's what it was all about. I didn't care about the win. I just wanted to make sure they were happy.
Yeah, I've never had a problem putting somebody over if it led to something, or, you know, actually, I never really had a problem putting anybody, because I knew I was going to get my stuff in or whatever. So I've never had a problem with it or whatever. I mean, if you're comfortable in yourself and what you do, you're going to, you know, you're not going to worry about it. But this is, and like I've said this before, I knew who Freddie Gabriel was or whatever, and I knew he'd been working hard and training and working with Mariachi and Little Cholo and stuff like that. But when I saw the match over there at 555 for OCCW or whatever, I thought, man, he's come a long way. He's actually starting to put something into it, and, you know, there's no substitute for experience or whatever. So I thought that, I mean, I can't remember. Those guys, were they from Gold Coast or something like that? And they had came down. I didn't even know who they were.
Yeah, they were from Gold Coast, definitely. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so at that match, I thought, okay, yeah, now he's starting to put it together or whatever, and then continuing on, you know, keep training with those guys and stuff like that. So it just, you know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. That's what we're trying to say. So that's why Freddie's going to be with me and Nicolette as we take on Candy Girl, Ruben Iglesias, and Drew Master. So definitely, you got to come and check that match out. You got to come check out that whole card. It's stacked. We've been putting so much into it. We got a lot going on. So don't forget, it's UWC Blood, Sweat, and Tears. It's Sunday, June 27th. Doors open at 1:30. First match is at 2. It's at the Metroflex Gym at 3. It's 3200 East 59th Street in Long Beach. So
I wanted to add something real quick when we were just talking about, you know, one of my other crazy experiences that I've had, again, this goes out to anybody listening that's trying to learn and stuff like that, and uh-huh. when you work hard, it pays off, and I was doing a show for Bumps and Bruises, but I was a referee. I became uh-huh. their lead official. We just talked about that earlier, how I would do a referee team, and I worked hard with Marty Elias and Rick Knox to perfect what I was uh-huh. doing, but I was still wrestling, you know, out there, but staying away from the L.A. area, just because I know that it's not good to be a wrestler and a ref at the same time. But there was a show that I was doing that a Freddie chant broke out as I'm wrestling before the match even started. Like, all the guys were in the ring. Like, I've never felt so bad, because I didn't want to take away from what these guys were about to do in the ring. But when the announcer comes up to me and he's like, hey, you have a big following. I'm like, yeah. Can you please tell them to stop chanting my name? Like,
well, you know,
I felt so bad.
Dude, I got in trouble for that. We were doing a show for Martin, and you know who the match that I reffed was? Little Cholo, who was 14 years old, 14 or 15, huh? I can't remember. And he wrestled Martin's little son or whatever, who was about the same age. And I was doing the Rudo ref thing, like AAA, like Tirantes or whatever. And at the end, I ended up turning them over and doing a quick three count. So the people were hot. So when I came out to do the next match, it was Mike Modest against Donovan Morgan from APW. But the crowd was still hot. So they were on my ass, and I was going back and forth with them, and Donovan Morgan got so mad. He's like, dude, we get to the back. He goes, you know, you're supposed to be repping. You're not here to crack jokes. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, but the heat spilled over from the next match or whatever. He was, but Mike Modest, being the professional that he is, he walked up to him and said, hey, bro, he can't help it if the crowd is hot. You know, after the thing, he's got to go with what they go. And he goes, you got to understand, we were invited here by Martin to come and work or whatever. He goes, so you just got to roll with the punches. You got to. And I was like, this guy gets it. I mean, Mike Modest seriously was like, you know, he knew the business, and he's like, he can't, you know, he can't just stop. You got to keep going or whatever and do your stuff. So thanks to Mike Modest. But I get what you're saying. They get, you feel kind of bad, and it's like, well, but you can't help it, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, what was I supposed to do? I mean, I was just standing in the corner with my arms crossed, you know, we're getting ready for the show, and what am I supposed to do? At one point, I just kind of, like, raised my hand and acknowledged the crowd, and they went crazy, and then they went back to normal. But, I mean, everywhere I was going, it's like momentum, like you said, when you saw me, you saw that I was working hard. My momentum started to change, and the attitude started to change, and people started giving me more talk. And at one point, it was like, man, I'm getting more bookings as a referee than I am as a wrestler, so that's why I stuck with it. But people paid attention to my wrestling back then. But the thing was, I was trying to stay away from LA area. Like, I was trying to referee, you know, Orange County, LA area, and then I would go wrestle, let's say, in San Diego area, you know, down in Bali, as far away as I could, so that it wouldn't mix in, and people would be like, hey, I thought I saw him as a ref, or hey, I saw him as a wrestler. And, now I had to make the commitment. I was told by Little Cholo, you know, like, you got to choose, either be a ref or be a wrestler. And he said that he saw something in me, you know, he saw potential in me, and he sees the work ethic that I bring, and I thank him for all the opportunities that he's given me, and all the training lessons, and I mean, I wish I would have done this a lot sooner, because I am getting old in age, and I don't care what people say, but at the end of the day, man, I tell people, win, lose, cry, draw, whatever, you're going to get everything I have. I don't care. Yeah, I'm giving it to you all, so I hope you guys are all ready for that show coming up.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Victoria is going to be – I think she has all five matches, and she's the female ref that's going to be over there doing the matches for us over at the Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So the only thing is that's Vintage Dragon's woman. So I'm like, hey, you're going to be able to be unbiased? Absolutely. She goes, all that stuff stops when we get to – when we get to the venue or whatever. I said, okay, for sure. I said, she goes, believe me, I got this, man. Don't worry. So we look forward to her being, and she's been pretty professional, because I've done the last couple of shows. She's been the referee. She actually worked the show for RJ. I didn't know she was that good of a wrestler. You know, she went up a little bit off. I think maybe bit off a little bit more than she could chew against Sarah and Ricky Mandel, but it was quite, what's the word I'm looking for? Vicious or whatever. So we look forward to her coming and refereeing the show. Let me take the last final break. We'll come back and we'll get out of here real quick. Can you hold on for just one more minute there, Freddie?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
All right. Hang on and then we'll get
back. Are you going to hang up on
them? I'll try. I was able to reset the board and not hang up on Freddie. So real quick for the people here, don't forget UWC Radio back on Sundays. We were off for a little bit because I had so much going on, but we're back getting ready for the big show coming up. Don't forget Sunday, June 27th, the Metroplex Gym, UWC presents Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Make sure you check it out. Now, I've been working over the weekend because we got a live broadcast that's going to be at the NutriShop. They moved. They were right over here in Long Beach, not too far from me, but they moved over to Lakewood, right up, I believe it's South and Bellflower, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to be doing a live broadcast out there on June 19th, which is the week before. So if you want to come out, I got so much stuff. I got stuff to give away. I got, all kinds of junk or whatever. We'll play some chop trivia out there if you want to come down. Check out some of the wrestlers, and we're going to play some chop trivia. And, well, I think I have the small cornhole board, if we could want to bring that and check it out. Speaking of that, don't forget Point After Contact.
Whoa, I'm so glad you fixed that.
I don't have my paperwork here, but don't forget
Point After Contact. I'm so glad you –
and of course, Paul's photos. Make sure you check them out. Sorry about that. I completely forgot about them. Paul's Photos, big sponsor. They've been helping us out since the beginning. And of course, Point After Contact. Hopefully, we can get them down there. We'll get Paul's to take some pictures. We'll get Point After Contact down there, so you can see the cornhole, custom cornhole board that Manny got from them, or whatever. And you can check it out there. So I'll have more information. Just follow me, Fabi Chulo on Facebook and all that stuff. And I'll send some stuff to Frey so you can put it on his. And, of course, Manny, so you guys can all check it out. Now, I don't know if Freddie's going to be able to make it because he's a working sucker. But if you do make it on Saturday the 19th at the live broadcast at NutriShop, will you take a couple of chops if somebody can hit two or three in a row on that cornhole?
You know what? I'll do it. I will definitely do it. You know, if I make it out there, depending on my work, I got to look at my schedule. If I make it out there, you know, I'm saying you hit three in a row.
Okay.
You can
perfect.
Me.
And,
you'll be able to
stop
me. I'm only calling for three.
Okay. And to our main man, Manny Pinson, if Freddie can't make it, you're going to have to take him, bro. So just be prepared. Warm up the chichonas, and we'll be ready to go. But anyway, Freddie, amen. I'm glad you were able to make it, man, so we could, you know, it's always good to talk some wrestling and get the latest news, like with Andrade and all them coming. And of course, Fletchville guys, main event, Kim and Diam against Power Baby Genesis and Jaguar de Oro. We look forward to it. It's been a long time coming. We got specials. As soon as we get everything set in stone as far as that's concerned, we'll talk about it next Sunday, okay? So it's going to be, there's a VIP ticket where you can get front row seats and you get in a half hour early and stuff like that. So we'll talk all about that next week. Make sure we get all that in gear. So, Freddie, I'll be able to see you on next Sunday. Hopefully you can make it on Saturday the 19th and we'll all be good to go. All right, my friend?
You know, if I make it out there, I might even do a special raffle. Like all the ladies out there, if you hit five in a row, you might get a lucky date. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. So now we're gonna have some people over there. So with all that being said, we'll see everybody next Sunday. We'll keep everybody up to date on the big show, huge show. We've been taking forever to get that thing over a year in the making. So UWC Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Sunday, June 27th. 2 p.m. at Metroflex Gym. So we'll see everybody here next Sunday. Freddie, I'll see you then. All right, my man?
Sounds good, my dudes. Be good. Be safe. See you guys soon.
All right. All right. We'll see you then.